Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so as we look at the market, the economy, what's happening with the Fed, all these things, there's never been a better time to be diversified in your portfolio, right? That sounds like a reasonable statement that I'm making. Well, part of that, there is an area that has been growing and getting more attention, and it's the area of alternative investing. Okay, so I caught a article, which one of my favorite publications is Investment News. They are the leading information source for financial advisors, and I, being a financial advisor planner, I read that religiously, and I ran across a great article by a gentleman named Jeff Benjamin, and he wrote about alternative investments, and I've invited him to be on the program. So, Jeff, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So, I wanted to have you on. I think that it's a great opportunity to talk about this. Quick introduction for Jeff, senior columnist for Investment News. He's been a professional journalist for over 25 years, and you still have your walking around sense.
Yes, I do.
Good for you. That's a lot. And so you've got a bachelor's degree in journalism from Central Michigan University, and Jeff has done a lot of things. He's received more than 2 dozen national and regional awards for his news reporting. So you're serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
I like that. Well, good. So let's get serious then about alternative investing. And so before we lose anybody, they might think we're talking about something exotic. In a nutshell, if you would, for our listeners, Jeff, explain what alternative investments are about, some examples. Give us a flavor for what this is.
Okay, sure. You're right. A lot of times people hear the word alternative investing and they start immediately thinking of hedge funds and things that brought down the financial markets in 2008. And you certainly could go down that path with this conversation. But what we're talking about, what I talk about a lot, is something that they call it liquid alternatives a lot of times, because it refers to regular retail class mutual funds that use strategies that are beyond the garden variety stocks and bonds. And the thing that's interesting to me is I talk to a lot of financial advisors, and there's so many financial advisors that are still saying, you know, alternatives is a fad, never going to work. It's only interesting now because maybe things were a little volatile or something like that. But what I remind people is that think of alternatives as I hate to use the word hedging, but that's really what they're doing. They're kind of hedging some of your risk. And anybody who owns more than one stock in a portfolio is hedging risk by owning 2 or 3 stocks, because you're diversifying. Diversification is a form of hedging. So in a real simple sense, alternatives do one of two basic things. They either hedge your risk or they enhance your performance. Enhancing performance, that's when you do get into more of the exotic product.
Right,
but when
right.
we talk about hedging, we're really just talking about, you know, bringing some of the volatility down in your portfolio and, you know, giving you a chance to ride out the storm.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So it can either... One way to look at it is, because I do some cycling out on the road, it can either be a headwind to slow me up a little bit and kind of reduce the risk, or it can be a tailwind and give me a little more speed or potential accelerated performance.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We're getting it. That's good. All right. That's the nature of what they are designed to do, and of course is for them to also to move or be different in the way they respond to different markets. And in your article you wrote in Investment News, you referred to the perfect storm. In your reference to that, is that the nature of where our stock market is, the bond yield, some of the geopolitical risk? Is that kind of what you're seeing when you kind of call it the perfect storm?
Right. I mean, the stock market, the U.S. equity market is at an all-time high. I think the Dow hit another all-time high yesterday. I'm not sure what it's doing right at this moment, but the bond market has interest rates have been falling for since 1980, I think. So that's we're at the end of a 30-year bull market in bonds. The yields can't go much lower. So rising rates, they tend to hurt the bond market for a while anyway. So, and then you have, obviously, you look at something like what's going on in Ukraine and Syria, and, you know, that kind of uncertainty does create some volatility in the markets. All I'm saying is that if ever there was a time to maybe diversify into some of these strategies that are designed to reduce the volatility, I would think it would be now.
I think that if we could capture that soundbite, I think that is a clear message. And it not just for alternatives, but really for everybody looking at their portfolio. There's really never been a better time to take a hard look at what you're doing and make sure you have adequate diversification. And you get this hedging. Hedging doesn't necessarily mean exotic, as Jeff is describing, but to hedge your bets. That's what we're really talking about doing. So let's dig a little deeper. Let's get our drill and go a little deeper. What do these investments look like? So if you're talking about one of these alternative investments that are, you call the liquid version of the retail mutual fund, using these strategies, what are they investing in, or how are they investing?
Well, Morningstar, which tracks the mutual fund universe, Morningstar, I think they have 14 or a dozen categories of liquid alternative strategies. And the only reason I'm using the liquid alternative name is because a lot of traditional hedge funds, they aren't very liquid, meaning you can't get in and out of them.
Sure.
On a daily basis, or sometimes even on a monthly basis.
Right, right.
So when I'm talking about mutual funds that use liquid or that use alternative strategies, I'm talking about funds that are designed to maybe give you some exposure to markets, maybe into the commodities market or something in precious metals or more real estate exposure. And these are all things that are considered diversifiers because they don't correlate completely with a stock portfolio or a bond portfolio.
Okay, so we're talking about the underlying investments, precious metals, commodities, currencies maybe?
Sure.
Okay, real estate you mentioned?
Right.
Maybe some oil and gas, maybe some of these other things that are different, distinct, and the whole concept, you use the technical word correlation, and these, you know, what we try to do is build portfolios that are not all in lockstep. Think of a marching army. We don't want a marching army for our portfolio. We want, you know, we want a mosh pit. Okay.
Right.
We want everybody jumping around, and we want things going in different directions, or a jumpy bean with, you know, a dozen 12-year-old boys in it. That's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them all to work, because if that were the case, then you'd be better off just picking one and being done. Right. I mean,
right.
So that's a very interesting thing, Jeff. I think that people would be surprised to know that some of these underlying investments, that's how you do it. So how do they do, typically with these funds, do they do anything to, and I guess this will come back to how they handle this, do they go into those, do they do anything special in how they put them in the portfolio? Do they use leverage? Do they...
Well, sure. There are, and you can get in, if you look at the alternative strategies, you have some that will use leverage, and leverage would be basically enhancing the performance,
right,
of whatever you're investing in. It will, if it's leveraged, it's multiplied. If it's, it can be the S&P 500, something as generic as the S&P 500, this wouldn't be an alternative category, but I'm just giving you an example. Something as generic as the S&P 500 stock index, and somebody says, I want to leverage that up 2 times. So whenever it goes up, you're going to get double that. But of course, when it goes down, because you're betting on it going up, you're going to lose double. So that's like live by the sword, die by the sword. But that's when I look at the alternative category for financial advisors or retail investors, individual investors, I look at it as, you know, some of these leverage strategies, that's not necessarily what you need to be in.
Yeah.
You need to be in some of these things like a long short equity strategy.
That okay. Means, that was going to be my next question, is are they also using, you know, options, shorting, going long, using some of these different strategies as it relates to the selling and buying of stocks or the underlying holdings at certain points, just to act again as a stopgap on some sort of market activity.
Yeah, exactly. That's the engineering inside these strategies is what you're really paying for.
I gotcha.
Right. I oversimplified it initially by saying, you know, real estate's a diversifier, currencies, commodities, and those are things that, you know, you can buy a fund that exposes you to those things. And if you're not getting something that moves in lockstep with what you already have, you're fine. You know, you want diversification, and diversification is coming out there in big ways through this flood of new alternative mutual funds.
I'm with you. I'm with you. So it's not just the things that they hold. It's how they hold them. It's the engineering, as you said, Jeff, that,
right,
that is how they put it together. Very interesting. Let's grab a break. Jeff Benjamin is our guest, senior columnist with Investment News. We'll be right back.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back with Jeff Benjamin, who is a senior columnist with Investment News. And website for Investment News is, well, it's investmentnews.com, and you can go to the columns and blogs, and a lot of great resources there. You don't have to be a financial advisor to go there or to learn more. And you've got also a couple of conferences coming up, right, Jeff?
Yes, we do. In May 12th and 13th in Chicago, Retirement Income Summit, and then in October, also in Chicago, our Alternative Investment Conference.
All right, yeah, that's October 15th and 16th, and they can get more information on the investmentnews.com website.
Yep.
Excellent, excellent. All right, that's good. All right, so we've talked a little bit about some of the basic structure, and, you know, the idea here isn't necessarily to, again, the purpose isn't to, it's, we're trying to diversify, but let's talk a little bit about return potential. Are these, because I want to make sure we get a proper framing. This isn't just about diversification. I don't want necessarily for people to think that this is a, you know, hanging a big, huge lead weight around your portfolio's neck, that this is also has the potential to enhance performance or to have return that is acceptable and respectable on its own, you know, not necessarily always acting as a counterbalance.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, the way I look at it, when I think of alternatives, there's two things they can do inside your portfolio, and they can do them, you know, if you hold them, they can do them throughout market cycles. They can reduce the risk or the volatility, and, you know, at times they can enhance the performance. Let me give you an example of the dozen or so categories of alternative mutual funds in the Morningstar database. Last year, 2013, the S&P 500, the broad stock index, gained about 30%. Well, the leveraged equity category of the alternative mutual fund category gained 47%. Meanwhile, the bear market category, which is the category that's betting on the market to go down, that's obviously, you know, a tough thing to be in unless the market's going to be going down, that category lost 34.4% last year. So it's, you know, that would be an extreme example of a balance. You'd want to bet on that when you really thought you were in for a hurt locker. But, you know, as we know, the stock market's been going up for 6 years now.
So. Yeah. Well, and that's a great point to make there, Jeff, is so for our listeners thinking, well, okay, I'm not sure I would be willing to bet, quote unquote, on a bear market happening. But what if, again, with the spirit of what we're trying to describe here, a hedging, what if as part of an overall portfolio you decided to include, you know, I want a little bit of a hedge just in case. So I'm going to bet on number, you know, like on the roulette wheel, I'm going to bet on number 16, but I'm going to also put a couple of chips over here on, you know, this column down the middle, just in case I miss, I've kind of hedged my bet. So you could do the same thing with maybe a bear market mutual fund.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could. I mean, again, a bear market mutual fund is a straight bet on the market going down. So, I mean, I see that as a little bit of a, I gave it as an extreme example, but let me just tell you something else.
Sure.
This year through April 15th, some data I ran for a different story, the S&P through April 15th of this year, the S&P 500 was down slightly, I think about a percentage point at that point.
Yeah.
Well, the bear market strategy was up 1.7% over that same period.
Interesting.
So that was 3.5 months. So, and meanwhile, leveraged debt was another category. That was up 11.6% over that 3.5 month period in this year. So, you know, when I look at it as, I mean, I have a lot of alternative strategies in my own portfolio. I'm largely investing for the long term and for the, you know, the positive growth direction of the, you know, of the equity markets, which is, you know, historically going higher. But I also don't want, if we have another 2008, I don't want to get creamed again. I mean, people don't invest in alternative funds for 2013 when the market is up 30%. They invest in alternatives for 2008 when the stock market lost 39%. You got to think of it that way.
Boy, that was perfect. That's another. We recorded that one. And we're going to replay that one again too. That's perfect, Jeff. That's a perfect encapsulation of why you do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to cover your butt, is to protect your downside. I mean, we all know the history books now and how long it took to recover and get north of where we were. And for people, and there's people still feeling the reverberations of that substantial downturn. And so, as you said earlier, now is the time to take a hard look at some of this and incorporate. And what you're seeing from an allocation standpoint, what are you seeing, like, you know, advisors, you're talking with them, what they're recommending? What are the ranges you're seeing that they recommend for an allocation to some of this alternative category for the portfolios they manage?
The general sense that I'm getting and from people either investing or studying alternative investments is that less than 10%, you're really not getting the bang for your buck that you should be. You have to have enough in there that it's going to have an influence on the portfolio. And, you know, a lot of times, let's face it, when like last year when the market was up so strong, if you had some alternatives in there, you were going to be looking like a little bit of a drag on your portfolio. But the example I just showed you for the first 3.5 months of 2014, you would have had less of a drag on your portfolio than people that weren't exposed to alternatives.
Okay, that's a good
point.
So
between 10 and 20% is usually where people that are believers in alternatives will put their stuff.
And within that 20%, of course, they're going to use multiple strategies within that, where maybe part of it is, like you said, the debt, part of it is maybe bear market, some of it's commodities or precious metal, mixing that part up as well.
The key is to look at when you're building alternatives, because there's no like if you wanted to have exposure to the U.S. stock market, you could buy an index fund giving you exposure to the S&P 500, 500 largest public companies in the country. But there's no S&P 500 for alternatives. So you have to go and look at what is non-correlated or doesn't move in lockstep with everything that you already have.
And
you could have a portfolio that is, you know, heavily loaded up in utility stocks. Maybe you're a big believer in utility stocks, or maybe you've got a lot of real estate that you own. Well, you've got to think of your unique situation, your particular situation, and find things that are non-correlated to that, because otherwise you're going to get creamed in a year like 2008.
Yeah, so it's looking at what the rest of the portfolio, and you want it to move as much as possible, independent of those things, whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in a traditional portfolio that's got stocks, and just say it's a stock portfolio, there's not, you know, because we've got what we talked about earlier with bond yields. So you've got your traditional stock portfolio, and you've got large cap, small cap, mid cap. You've got the different sectors. You've got some U.S. You've got some overseas. You've got that. Then what you're going to look for then is you're going to look for, with these alternatives, things that are not going to move in step with the. You want it to be not necessarily to move in the opposite direction. You're not looking for something to cancel it out.
Right.
You're looking for, because that's also what sometimes people think is, well, you're just creating a zero scenario.
That's a great point, David, because, like I said, that's why I use the bear market strategy as an example, but
right.
I wouldn't recommend a bear market strategy, because you're basically just, I mean, alternatives don't have to go down when everything else is going up. They just aren't going to go up as much. And when everything else is going down, they're gonna maybe go positive, or they might not do anything because they're designed to hedge that. So, I mean, think about 2008. You know, when everything was going down, and how many people, and I'm sure you know investors that did this, they sold at the last possible minute. They said, yeah, I'm going to hold on. And the market turned around in March 2009. It's been going up ever since. Well, if those people could have just held on, you know, and they might have been able to hold on if they weren't going down as much as
exactly,
much as the market.
Exactly.
And that's where you hedge. That's why you hedge.
You're right on the money. Jeff Benjamin's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Investment News senior columnist. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back. We got Jeff Benjamin on the line. Jeff Benjamin, and we are talking about alternative investing. And we've got about a minute and a half left, Jeff. And I wanted to ask you, last thing, which is very important for a lot of investors, is cost. What should we be thinking about or anticipating there? There can be additional costs than your plain vanilla no-load mutual fund, correct?
Yes, there are additional costs. And that's part of the reality of alternative strategies. You know, there's more engineering going on. It requires more research. It's definitely a more complex and more costly strategy. But there's still nothing wrong with looking at fees when you're investing in these strategies, because they're not all overpriced. I mean, there are averages, and I would look to try and stay below the averages. But if you're going to get into alternatives, you have to accept the fact you're going to be paying a little bit more for it.
That's fair. Well, if we take Morningstar and we push the average button on the sum. Last time I looked this up, it was like 26,000 mutual funds. You know, if we push the average button, you know, it's about 1.3-1.4%. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, you know, and I haven't studied it as closely, but I would imagine with alternatives, you're going to be maybe another point or two?
Not another point. You're probably going to be paying about another 65 basis points.
Okay,
so a little more than half a percentage point.
Okay, between half and a point. Okay, because I have seen some in people's portfolios that I've analyzed, and I have seen some that, again, like a lot of things, you could pay 2-3% just for a regular mutual fund if you don't pay attention.
Right. I mean, I'm giving you an average. You're
sure.
Right. You will see some in the 2.5% range, but the average of the alternative strategies I found to be around 65 basis points, or
okay,
you know, almost a little more than half a percentage point.
Okay. In excess of the typical fund. Okay.
Right.
Jeff Benjamin, ladies and gentlemen, senior columnist, Investment News. Jeff, thank you very much for being on the program.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you.